But our text is straightforward. I'll make this very quick today because I believe we're already running out of time here. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. That's this little verse is divided into three parts, really. First, there's the address, fathers. Second, there is the command, do not embitter or exasperate your children. Third, what is the purpose of the command or they will become discouraged? We'll look at these three parts really quickly here. First, we will direct our attention to the goal of Christian fathers, rearing children who are not discouraged. We don't want discouraged children, do we? We want encouraged children. Second, we look at the duty of the Christian father, namely, not to do things that would discourage their children. And third, finally, we want to focus on the leader in Christian parenthood, namely fathers. But before I do that, I want to say a word about the fatherhood of God, okay? Because we do have our earthly fathers, but as Christians, we have a heavenly father. And the Lord taught his disciples to pray the Lord's Prayer. He said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." Jesus taught that, and some people may not remember this or anything. God is not everyone's father. In John chapter 8, verse 42, he said to those who refused to follow him, he said, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come from God." And then he says this incredible, he says, "You belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out your father's desires." In other words, the devil's desires. That's a pretty harsh statement, isn't it? You see, God is the Father only of those who are led by the Spirit of His Son. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, he says, "Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. "For you do not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship." And by that, we cry out to Him, "Abba, Father." The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children and God is our Father. And if there's anything we should be encouraged about or take away today, is to have that wonderful encouragement to know God is our Father. But not everyone can lay claim to the privilege of knowing God the Father. Only those born of God, John chapter 1. Those who receive Christ, John chapter 1 also, and who are led by the Spirit, Romans chapter 8. Only they have the right to receive the inheritance that is due the children. Promises like Matthew chapter 7 that says, "The Father who is in heaven gives good things to those who ask Him." That is the father and child relationship there. The privilege of prayer, the promises that God will work all things out together for our good. That is part of the inheritance of being a child of God. This is what it means to have God as our Father. There are two reasons I begin with this word about the fatherhood of God. One is that I believe all human fathers should live their lives in a pattern that shows the divine fatherhood of God in their lives. The overarching guide of every father should live in such a way that the children, his children, can see what the Heavenly Father is like. They ought to see in their human father a reflection. Obviously, it will be an imperfect reflection, but in the Father, they should see strength and they should see tenderness. They should see on one side the wrath and the Father's mercy. The exaltation of the Father, but also the Father's condescension, and in His surpassing wisdom and patient guidance and understanding. So there's a lot of things that the earthly father can show to his children. The task of every human father is to be for his children an image of the Heavenly Father. But I want this message not to be just to the fathers in the room or the grandfathers. I want this message to be for everyone in the room. Whether you are a father or not, and whether you are a Christian father or not. I want to make clear from the outset that some people feel sadness Because they never had a father like that, an earthly father, who showed them the heavenly father. And others are sad maybe this morning because they feel regret because they weren't the father that God wanted them to be. But I want you to know this sadness or this regret can be overcome with joy this morning because God offers his fatherhood to anyone who would believe in his son Jesus. So there's hope, even though maybe our past is not what we would hope it had been. So let's go to the text and begin with this last phrase. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Discouragement implies a loss of heart. Being listless, spiritless, disinterested, moody or sullen. Now, didn't I just describe a teenager right there practically? You know, sometimes they're like that. I mean, not all of them, but I know I've had a bunch of teenagers and they've had their moments or their stages. But we, as fathers, we don't want to raise those types of people. We want to have a style of fatherhood that produces the opposite of discouragement. What is the opposite of being discouraged? That is being hopeful. We want children who are hopeful. We want children who are happy. We want children who are confident and courageous. I'm really impressed by my daughter Lily. She's right now in Vermont. She took a promise, a pledge to not speak English for the next 2 months. She's in a Korean intensive language training school. I could never do that. I wouldn't have the courage to forgo my mother tongue and speak another language for 2 straight months. But that's what she's doing. I said, Lily, aren't you afraid? She says, no, I'm not afraid. I'm just happy to go somewhere else. She's like, but I she's going to do wonderfully there. I really believe it. But you see, even though this verse is put in a negative form, there is a positive side of this, right? The negative really implies a positive command. So it's not only to avoid something, one kind of fatherhood, it's to pursue another kind of fatherhood, a godly fatherhood. The kind of fatherhood what gives a child hope instead of a discouragement, gives a child happiness instead of discouragement, gives them confidence and courage. And if we stop right there, we might think, well, if you talk to any parent, that's what they want to do, Christian or non-Christian alike. They're going to say, well, you know, this is what I want for my child. But Paul is not just giving us natural wisdom here. He's not just giving us everyday common sense. He's just not reading the latest article from Parenting Magazine. He wants to give us something that God inspired him to say. And he said, give your child hope in God. Not hope in money. Not hope in popularity. Not hope in education. Or hope in finding the perfect spouse. Or having professional success. He is saying, fill them with hope in God. And when we consider happiness as the opposite of discouragement, Paul would not be content if a father simply made his child feel good because he gave him everything he wanted. That would kill a child, really. That would harm a child. If they ask for something, say, sir, son or daughter, I'll give you that. There is a worldly happiness out there that many pursue that has nothing to do with God. Paul says, have joy in God. He gives that as an example in Psalm chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. You have filled my heart with greater joy. Fathers, don't discourage your children, but fill them with joy in God. Don't discourage them. And that goes for grandparents as well. I mean, we have a vital role too. Sometimes, you know, when the teenager and the parent seem not to be on the same wavelength, the grandparent can be very helpful in helping those two understand one another. So if you still have grandparents in your life, be sure to talk with them and get to know them. And when we talk about confidence, we want to give children confidence. That's the opposite of discouragement. But it's not self-confidence necessarily. It's God confidence. We want, as parents, to build up a child's God confidence. And sometimes we even have to, as parents, root out the self-confidence that a child might have. That there's an illustration in the Bible where Paul, God rooted out his self-confidence so that he would deeply depend on God. And this happened many years after Paul's conversion, for 20 years after Paul was converted to Christ. It says here in the book of 2 Corinthians, it says, "This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who was raised from the dead." So we like to see children be confident in their life, but not at the expense of not depending on God. God has to be, we have to rely on Him. We have to cast ourselves on God alone and find our dependence in Him alone. A good father will ponder. And I'm going to wrap it up here because how can I be like my own Heavenly Father? Sometimes the biggest question isn't what can I teach my child, is how do I live before my child in such a way that they would understand more about the Heavenly Father. We can teach them, we can sit them down and force them to memorize Scripture. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but is our lives lining up with the Scripture? The duty of Christian parents to not embitter their children. Fathers, do not embitter your child, or they will become discouraged. Again, we notice that the commandment is negative, something to be avoided. It is a warning against the misuse of legitimate authority. There's something to think about. I said, we have a great responsibility. Children are supposed to obey their parents. But we cannot misuse our God-given authority, or we will break their spirits. They will become hopelessly discouraged. So let's ask, what do fathers do sometimes to provoke children to hopelessness and discouragement? One thing is that if the father is not happy in God, if the father is not hopeful in God, if the father is not confident in God, these things will rub off on their children. That's the way it is. You see, fathers, your relationship with God is far more important than any parenting technique you might come up with by reading a book about parenting. Will your children hope in God if you're all about hoping in money? Will they hope in God? If your child sees you that Sunday morning that you want to go out fishing and hunting and golfing on Sunday morning, do you think they're going to hope in God? When you're saying that, well, Sunday morning is more important, you know, I need to be on the golf course. The most important work that a father can do for the sake of his children is to convert them to Christ. And you can't do that with a heavy hand. You can't force it on them. You can't say, okay, you know, every Sunday you need to be in church. That's probably not the right way to go. You live out the Christian faith before them, whether they come to church or not. This is what's going to win them to Christ. The most important strategy for rearing children is to become a new man in Christ yourself, a new person in Christ, whose hope and happiness and confidence are in God and not himself. We know this to be true from the Scriptures, and this is what we are taught. We are taught to imitate the Heavenly Father. We are told to be holy as He is holy. We are told to be merciful as He is merciful. We are told to be kind and patient and understanding and forgiving. A good parent is going to be copied by their children. That is probably, isn't that to say that imitation is the best form of flattery? When a child wants to become like the parent, it honors a father to be imitated. And we are commanded to imitate our Father in heaven. And so the important question is, again, who am I before the living God and before my children? That's a question we need to ask ourselves as we look in the mirror. I just want to briefly touch on the third point here, and that is the third part of the text says that the address is to the fathers, but in verse 20, just before that, it says, "Children, obey your parents." This clearly teaches that mothers as well as fathers are to be obeyed. Mothers and fathers are to share in the authority over their children. But verse 21 does specifically address the fathers. Fathers bear a special responsibility for the moral life of their family. That's what the scriptures say. So I urge you to take up this great responsibility. Now you might look at that and say, well, that's impossible. I can't do that. That's overwhelming. But that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's where our faith in God comes in. That's where we submit to the Holy Spirit and say to Him and confess. Confess with our heart and our mind and our lips and say, God, it's an impossible task before me. But you know what the scriptures say. With man, it may be impossible. With God, all things are possible. And God says, I will be with you to help you. Be the kind of father God wants you to be. Be the kind of person God wants you to be. Hope and happiness and confidence, instill that in your children. And you can do this because you yourselves, you have found your hope. You have found your happiness. You have found your confidence in God. And when you do that, God is going to be honored and glorified and pleased. Amen with that? Amen. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there.